Genesis 28, 1 to 18. Then Isaac called Jacob, and blessed him, and charged him, and said to him, You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you, and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother, and had gone to Padan Aram. Also Esau saw the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael, and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba, and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place, and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place, and put it at his head. And he laid down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as dust, the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the east and to the west, to the north and south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and you will bring and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob arose early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it.
I don't know if we need a message this morning. I've been so blessed already by what each one has shared. Let's pray together. Father, we come through Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, to hear your words today, to hear what you want to tell us, to be open. Lord, I trust you for clarity of mind and heart, not to say what I want to say, but to be open to hear what you want to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Does going backward mean we are not going forward? Does returning to the called out land mean we're turning to idolatry? The Apostle Paul said, come out from among them and be separate. June of 2007, my family and I took that literally, and we moved out to a farm because we wanted to get away from the city for the very reason of the sinfulness, of the influence that our children could have. We were tired of it. We thought that was the life we wanted to live. And we wanted to get closer and established as a family. But as we did that, we realized that going out to the farm, we were taking ourselves with us. And within ourselves, there was nothing good. We were sinful. And we spent 7 years out there, and God says, no, it's time for you to come back. And I wrestled with that in the sixth year. I said, Lord, if it's really you, I'm testing you this year. If it's really you leading me, I want you to show me. And he showed. The lack of provision throughout the year came. But one thing we weren't sure was, God, have you really called us to follow you? And something that I want to carry on in the last message is, there are three things involving following Christ, and they're very, very significant. Number one is relationship. You can't avoid your relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't avoid loving him, getting to know him. Secondly, the relationship always precedes discipleship. We follow now to be prepared for what he has for us, which is apostleship, being sent out. But any time we move away from that relationship, we find ourselves losing out. We go back to either being legalistic in our leading, in anything. If we don't have a love relationship with Jesus Christ and knowing what he did for us at the cross, we will be left dry and our relationship won't be real. The reason I've chosen this passage this morning is because it almost seems as if Isaac's family is disintegrating. It almost looks like a remnant. Esau has chosen to go his own way. Jacob is now being sent back to get a wife. Could not God have provided a wife for him right in the land they were? Sure he could. But I wonder if Isaac realized, I don't know what to do. And cried out to God maybe and said, God, one son wants to kill the other. I don't know where to get a wife for him. So he ends up sending Jacob away. But something that I was reminded of was the promise that God gave to Abraham. And that promise was, I will never leave you. Although there is more to that promise, is I am going to be your God. And without me, you will not be able to do anything. And Abraham, we know, left the land, and he went to the land that God had promised. But even at that, he did waver a few times in unbelief. He ended up in Egypt. But God was faithful to bring him back. And in Isaac didn't go to Egypt. God said, don't go. And he didn't go. But as I see the relationship with Isaac, he must have released both of his sons. Knowing that Esau had already forsaken the birthright and had left it, and Jacob pursued it through deception, the household was just divided. What do we do? The cry to know what God wanted this family to do. This was the family that the chosen Messiah was going to come through. And you know, as I look at what Jesus said with his disciples, I pray that we'd be one, as ye are one, that the world may believe. And I wonder if Jesus felt in himself, we've been together this long, and we're not experiencing that oneness. I wonder if he felt that, is it really going to continue after I leave this world? Are we really going, can I really trust these guys? I don't know, but Jesus did one thing, and that is his relationship with the Father never wavered. He always remained in oneness with him. And this relationship I can see in Isaac, though they didn't see yet what was to come. He believed. He had to have believed. Because why would he send his son back? He must have known that God had a plan and a purpose. However, as I see Jacob, I believe as we look at the relationship, first of all, from the beginning, God never left us. We left him. We moved away from him. And we felt abandoned by him. He never will leave us or forsake us. But we so often find ourselves abandoned. And I guess something that challenged me there is without him, we can do nothing. So often, he reveals his presence to us, but without him, we can do nothing. We want to take what he has to give, and we want to go off on our own and try to do it. And I guess as I've been thinking that in my own personal life, is in my relationship, so often God meets and speaks to me, but I don't wait upon him for his time. I go ahead and I just go forward, and eventually I think, God, where are you? It's almost like I've lost you. But one thing that we see in this passage here today is, Isaac sent Jacob away with the promise. And that promise was the same promise that God gave to Abraham. May God Almighty bless you. May God make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and may God give you. It's God who does this work. It's him who works within us. As I heard through the youth here, what God was doing, it's not about us. It's not about us. And when it is, we leave him out. And he does give us room to leave him out. But if Isaac could release Jacob back to the land, really I see he released him into God's hands. God will be faithful to continue the work that he has planned to do. And as he released him, Jacob was now in God's hands. And we see as he went to the land of Haran, he took interest in one of Laban's daughters, Rachel, which in this doesn't believe that she was the one for him. And through deception, God gave him Leah. But he wasn't content with that. And you know, as I see that, the relationship in God was still with him, but he let Jacob make these decisions. He let Jacob decide who was going to be God. And later on, we see how things there was argument between Leah and Rachel. But the challenge was, who are you willing to let? Are you willing to let God be God? But through it all, God finally said, after he worked with Laban for some time, God finally said, go back. The time here is done. We're going back to the land that I've called you out of. Now, just because they left that land and went into the land that God had called them to doesn't mean that they were going to be perfect. God had taken them out to set them apart, to prepare them to go back in, to be amongst the people, to live among them, and to be an example. And in the church today, we see that. We've been called out. And a lot of times we go into a wilderness, and I believe this was part of Jacob's wilderness as God took him out and prepared him to come back, is we go out so God meets us alone. So we have no one we can blame. So we have him and him alone. We can't say, well, it was this person's fault. We can't say it was that person's fault. We can say, God, here I am. It's me that needs the changing. And that was kind of my experience on the farm, was God was meeting me. God wanted to show me that I needed him, and that without him, I couldn't do anything. I was helpless within myself. And as he did that, he pulled us together as a family to realize that we really needed a savior. But then he said, I want you back in the city. About a year ago, a bit more, we, on February the 26th, 2015, I got a call one afternoon from the hospital of a very close friend who decided that time was up. He'd already given it 4 days. He'd already... But you know what? I didn't want to let him go. We had 4 months together or better. And we developed such a close relationship. But he decided that day that it was time. And so I went to the hospital and I stood with him beside his bed and held his hand. As he passed into eternity, my heart groaned just the week before that. I was concerned. We have a good relationship. But how's his relationship with the Lord? And I went home that day grieving, because I wasn't sure if that was established. And I said, God, but I thought you called me to come out from where we were. I thought you said you'd be with me. I said, and I realized without you I could do nothing. I realized as I was with him, I couldn't change him. I had one moment to share with him how much God really, really loved him. Well, I got home that day, and sometimes we need to know. And I cried out to God, God. And God said, put a song in my heart. And last week, in closing, you sang it, and it was a promise. You are the one who saves. You are the one who takes all my sins away. I hang on to that song believing that he's with the Lord, because I so desperately wanted him to be with the Lord. I so desperately wanted him to come to know the Lord, but I could hardly talk. He struggled so much with bitterness. He struggled so much with family. He struggled so much with these things. He didn't know the love of God, so I couldn't go and preach to him. They asked him if he wanted to minister when he was dying, and he said, no, I don't want to minister. You know what? I believe today he's with the Lord. I believe he's with him because of that promise that God gave. And that was a real blessing last week. But I said to the Lord, I'm not going anywhere unless it's you. I'm not going unless you're calling me. I'm not going to do it, because I realize that everything that you do is from you. It's not me. I can't do your work. Well, he didn't accept my answer, and I just finally says, no, I want you to go. And you know, we're blessed to this day. We're still part of the family and the estate, but there's more there that don't know the Lord. And we're trusting that God would bring salvation to them. But as I see the promise again of God calling Abraham out. First of all, relationship. Okay. Then to do what God called him to do. Part of discipleship. God was changing him, adjusting him to be the person that he wanted him to be. And from that to the apostleship. Now you're going to be sent out to declare. And we see that with the disciples. Also, it's a parallel or a pattern throughout the scriptures. But one of the biggest challenges I face, and I've been facing quite a bit lately, is, God, you said you're going to build your church. And sometimes I wonder how is it going to be done? We believe you, but so often in believing you, it seems so impossible. And you know, as I was meditating this morning, he said, my work is impossible. Without me, you can't do anything. But that's what part of the relationship is. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. That is a promise. That's not only a promise that he gave to Jacob when Jacob left Isaac here. That's a promise in the New Testament. That's a promise to others. I won't leave you or forsake you. I will be with you. But it'll be my work in and through you. Have a relationship with me. And so often, you know, and that's an encouragement to all of us here today. Let's not run past that relationship. I've done it. Oh God, what do you want to do? Let's go ahead and do it. And God says, sorry. He doesn't say anything. We just kind of feel like we're going up against a brick wall. And I guess that, in seeing that, I said, well, Lord, your will be done. And my desire for my life, for our lives, is that the relationship remains intact and that we know him in such a way that he increases in our lives and that we love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul and all our mind. And let's be prepared to be what he's called us to be in discipleship. Let's willingly, like I mentioned last time, deny ourselves, take up our cross. And it's not a burden when we see what he did for us. He willingly went through that so that we could be free, so we could enjoy that oneness with him. Too often I get caught up focusing on, well, I realize I can't do it without you, so then why do you ask me? No, we can do it. And we can go forward as conquerors. I want to encourage each of us here today with that challenge, that we are able to go farther. Now, God doesn't force us. Discipleship, apostleship, and further on, we're not forced to be one who follows and then to be ones who sends the word of God. But if we really, really love him with all of our heart, we'll be willing to go forward and do what he's called us to do. And too often I have found myself, well, do I have to? And he doesn't make too much of an issue with that. But he stands there beside me and he shows me what he's done for me. And I said, well, Lord, then really I can't do what I want to do. I don't belong to myself. And all of us here today, and as I've been encouraged with what you've shared with YC in different places, we don't want to be about ourselves, about this youth that came. We don't want to be about ourselves. We want people here that can know about Jesus Christ. And first of all, see the Jesus Christ living within us. And it's too often I'm caught up with myself and I forget, no, Lord, it's about you. We follow you, not ourselves. We don't adjust you to follow us to go forward. We're following you. We want you to lead through our lives. And that's the sense I have here this morning. And that's been a real encouragement to my heart. But as we look at the life of, there's a lot more things here. There's a divided household, but we know that the oneness would come through Jesus Christ. And God doesn't expect perfection. But my challenge and encouragement to all of us, let's remain in that oneness with him. Let's stay there, because then we will become stronger together and we'll be able to reach the world, because he says that the world may believe. But if we can become strong here, then the world will say there's a oneness. We want what they have. That is my challenge to all of us here today. Let's walk in that oneness. Let's walk in that truth. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your love. The relationship that we have with you today is only because of Jesus Christ. All we could do is respond. And Lord, as I thought of my friend there, all he could do is respond, but I couldn't make that decision for him. Father, but we can make that decision for ourselves, to follow you, to obey you wholeheartedly, to do what you've commanded us to do. But I pray, Lord, that we would be caught up with your love more than anything else, because that seems to be the thing that the enemy wants to steal the greatest, is knowing how much we're valued, knowing how much we are loved by you. I just thank you for each one here today. Lead and guide us, I pray in Jesus' name.